Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We want to return now to the ongoing investigation into the cyber attack on the HSE's IT system. And I'm joined on the line by the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for being with us today. The front of the Irish Times says that the HSE was warned 3 years ago about IT system weakness. So that warning came in your own annual reports. Is that right? And if so, what action did the HSE take at that time?
Yeah, Claire, and I will address specifically the actions and specifically those reports. And just in before I do, can I just say it is also important to remind all your listeners what's actually happened here. You know, what has happened is a really very serious criminal act. And this is not something that happens out in cyberspace. This has been organised by real humans, and it's affecting real humans and very vulnerable humans, very vulnerable people in the Irish health system and indeed our staff. So, you know, it really is a vicious and callous act that we've been the subject of. Specifically related to the risks identified, they were identified by us, I think it's the first thing to say, reports initiated by us, by the HSE, to identify areas of weaknesses that need to be addressed. So self-identification of risks. I think the first thing to say is that if we didn't identify those risks or they were not identified on our risk register, would be a significant failing. Mm-hmm. The second thing I just want to say related to those risks are that they have been identified, and I'm happy to bring through a number of actions that have been addressed as appropriate. But it is far too early to assume that those risks specifically identified then are the cause of what's happened now. Now, I'm not saying they won't be or aren't, but it's not identified direct linkages just now.
And are you confident enough to say that you know and you are certain that the HSE systems were protected appropriately?
Well, the reality of it, Claire, from what we've experienced, is that these criminals have got into our systems and have got access into it. And the approach we have taken, specifically with those actions that are identified by ourselves in that report, would have been on two ways we go about it, Claire. Firstly, when we're investing in new services that come on, our new systems support those new services, we do it in a very different way, not the way we would have done the legacy system. So, for example, to give you two examples, during COVID, we put in a whole new pathway for people to get COVID tested. And that is all up and running with one exception, one link to GPs. Secondly, our vaccination program, all done in a very new system, in a very new way, in a very different way, protected, all up and running and sustaining. And thirdly, management information from new services now. We now mm-hmm. put into a data lake that's more protected, separate. But specifically on our older legacy systems, yes, we have made investments over the last few years. So it's approximately 300 million over 3 years, but about 82 million of that 300 million would be specifically targeted towards those risks that were identified in that report around access, around security, around firewalls, around checkpoints, language that will be very familiar to corporate organisations as well.
Because your predecessor, Tony O'Brien, was on the programme on Monday, and he suggested that the government funding wasn't there to invest in IT systems to the extent that he might have wanted to.
Yeah, and look, the reality of it is, Claire, we do have very old legacy systems, and we are a function of health boards coming together, systems not totally integrated with each other, and the risk of one system becoming contaminated and infecting others is very serious risk. You know, if you just look briefly at the extent of our network, we've somewhere between 80,000 and 150,000 access points, whether they're laptops or points of which people can access the mm-hmm. network mm-hmm. in 3,000 locations.
Yeah,
you know, so just, it's a very significant
just to come back to the
to
specifics of what Tony O'Brien said. He said on the government funding side, it's about a quarter of comparable other health services in other jurisdictions. Is he right there?
Yeah, there's no doubt the reality of our network and the extent of a network will need further investment, has needed further investment.
So it was vulnerable.
That has improved over the last few years. But Claire, I think that the nature of cyber security, you know, my own background is in networks. I've managed networks in telecommunications companies where they had very significant investments and became subject of direct denial of services attacks. Mm-hmm. This is what happens. What we can do is identify the risks, have a rolling set of action plans, which we have had for the past 3 years. And obviously, there's a compromise there somewhere where the network has been accessed and very significant impacts for our services.
So let's talk about what might have happened now. Do you know yet are people's personal medical information and details, is that online on the dark web as we speak?
Well, I guess I've been very frank and open about this. What these cyber criminals do is seek to get the information, first of all, encrypt it, so we're not in a position to access it ourselves. And I can talk specifically what we're doing about that. And then secondly, to extract that network. What they do then is obviously seek to engage in a ransom process to secure that. But equally what can happen is they can kind of act as wholesalers of selling that information off to other criminal organizations.
And have they done that yet?
We can't determine that. I mean, the reality of it is this is now very seriously in the hands of the agencies of the state, intelligence agency of the state.
You see, it was widely reported yesterday, and Alan Kelly, the Labour Party leader, said he'd had contact from constituents where a GP said that one of their patients had their information given to a medical company who then contacted the patient to say, we can offer you the service that you're waiting for. So do you know that that has happened?
I don't know specifically related to the case that Deputy Kelly raised. What we do know is this is a strong likelihood of what these organisations will do, may be doing. We can't validate the information that we're seeing. I certainly can't validate, and other intelligence agencies are working on it. I certainly can't validate the information that was previously on the web, reported by the Financial Times. And so, you know, that is in the hands of the agencies of the state. But just to say, that is a high risk of what these organisations do. And it's a high likelihood of what they set out to do. We haven't been able to validate that at this stage. We do know a significant proportion of our data has been encrypted. We do know we have backups secured for that encrypted data. But it is a risk of what these organisations set out to do.
And who's doing the communication with these hackers?
Well, there's a set of parallel strands that obviously happen in these circumstances. We in the HSE are specifically focused on restoring the networks, restoring our services. It is going to take weeks. And separate to that, we hand all of that over to the Garda Cyber Criminal Investigation
Bureau. So they're in direct contact with the people who are making the ransom demand?
I genuinely would not know that, Claire, and you know, may not need to know. That is a process that intelligence agencies of the state take over. But you have heard government say, I mean, the reality of it is, I know a lot of the question is, you know, would you pay a ransom? And the reality of it is, it can be a very significant and rapid race to the bottom here, because what you are doing is investing in strengthening the competencies and capabilities of these organisations to cause further threat to the state. And other, you know, organisations too.
Yeah, so but you know, I mean, I don't have to tell you this, that on the other side of that scale is the risk to patient health and indeed the risk to patients' lives, the longer this goes on.
Yeah, and for us, Claire, in the health service, every day in the health service is balancing risks. And there's no doubt as what these organisations have done, it tips the risk further against us in terms of, because yes, it is very challenging from what we're trying to manage through these services today without having the full systems to support us available right now today, and every day causes more risk. There is no doubt about that. What I do want to reassure your listeners are the following. Firstly, yes, this is a process in the hands of the intelligence agency of the state. Secondly, from our perspective in the HSE, we have secured the best international partners who are scanning our networks, working on our networks since this happened on early Friday morning.
Have they given you any indication as to when, sorry to cut across you, there's a slight delay on the line, but have those experts given you any indication as to when that system can be rebuilt and back to some semblance of normality?
Yeah, and I was just going to finish that point. So we also have the best of the Irish technology experts from all across Ireland working with us, from all of the major consultancy technology firms working with us, and I want to thank them for a rapid response. So just what they are working to tell us is, they are working to tell us at various stages And the first stage where we made progress was where we can build a primary access domain, but a primary entry or a primary foundation on which we can start to build services on, and that's been secured. Secondly, they're then working with us to facilitate what hospitals can be brought on safely, and that's a process that we're working through right now, mm-hmm. and some of the bigger ones will be coming on board. Thirdly, then, some of the national systems like our radiology systems, our laboratory systems, our maternity systems, at what stage we can put those on and connect those back to those hospitals, and then finally connect the rest of hospitals.
We had a
but
GP.
It is going to be a process of weeks, Claire.
Okay, we had a GP, Peter Sloan, on the show earlier, and he was saying he's very concerned about going back to pen and paper for illness benefit forms, which is an instruction that he has had. How long, or is it the case that it's happening now, that your IT problems are affecting things like, and may affect going for on from here, social welfare payments and social protection?
First of all, from a health perspective and GP's connectivity and all of that, yes, it is affecting, because there is a system health link which connects ourselves and GPs, and that is down. And again, we are prioritising various systems to bring on. But this will be a longer period of time. And equally in our hospitals, people have not got, they may be able to take a scan, an MRI at a point, but they cannot access that from other parts of the hospital, and equally they cannot look back on history. So yes, there are pens and papers now being used in our emergency department for people to run from where a scan may have been taken back to emergency department consultant, and that is a process, unfortunately, where we are right now. We are making very slow, very steady progress, and it's important we don't put systems back on our network that set us back further. So we have to put clean, secure, accessible systems back on.
Are you concerned that the HSE could face litigation following on from this?
Well, look, right now our primary concern, Claire, is to protect that data that could be the subject of legal publication. That's everything we're doing round the clock, 24/7, since that happened. Those processes emerge in the future, who knows, but from our perspective, our actions now are to protect as best we possibly can that happening. I know this is a very serious setback for the health system, and Claire, I know you know it. You know, our own staff, the public, last Thursday evening, everything just looked so bright for everybody. Our own staff, you know, we could see benefits of the vaccination programme, we could see a better future, our staff were getting relief in our hospitals. And this is really, and what I just want to commend very briefly, in case I don't get a chance, the resilience of our staff who immediately walk into another crisis and immediately dare turn their focus on patients and workarounds. You know, just tremendous resilience of our own staff. And also, you know, sometimes referred to as bureaucrats in the HSE and management and administration, people working around the clock geared towards getting systems back on a prioritised basis based on patients. You know, and just want to recognise that.
Okay, just before I let you go, I'm sure you know about the hack in the United States on that country's largest fuel pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline. Mm-hmm. And its CEO yesterday admitted that they paid the hackers $4.4 million, which they didn't want to do, clearly, in ransom. But he said it's because it was the right thing for the country.
And I think, I don't have all the details in that case, but I think also in that case, they did not get back a lot of their data. You know, and that's the kind of, you are dealing with criminals, you are dealing with the underworld here. And I make the point I made earlier, the risk of that process is that you are investing in strengthening the capacity and capability of these organisations all of the time. You are further reducing the protections on the state the more you invest in them. But, you know, and I know many corporate organisations have paid ransoms, but it's a very difficult and different process when you're involved in the state.
So it's not on the agenda. Security. It's given all of the problems you've outlined, how difficult this is for your staff, right across the board for your patients, paying that ransom is not on the agenda. You're saying that.
Well, the only thing I can say in that, Claire, is exactly as I said earlier on. From my perspective, that is a process that's separate to HSE. And the only thing I'd say separate to that as well is I think you have heard government policy on it stated, you know, it's not a policy for the HSE to comment on.
Okay, Paul Reid, thank you for joining us. Paul Reid is the CEO of the HSE. Let's go straight to the newsroom, a little late to Brian Jennings.